watching the big fight as we show on the program tonight. Two topics. As a fresh political controversy erupts over the Rafale deal, NDTV has found more evidence that Indian agencies allegedly ignored allegations that French company Dassault, the maker of the Rafale fighters, may have paid crores of rupees to middlemen spanning both the BJP-led NDA-1 government and the Congress-led UPA. Earlier this week, the French media portal Mediapart reported that Dassault had paid 13 million euros, that's nearly 110 crore rupees at current rates, to a middleman called Sushen Gupta between 2002 and 2012 to help secure the sale of Rafale jets to India. But Indian agencies failed to investigate these allegations. Why is that the case? That's what we'll be debating first. Next up on the show at half past the hour, the Chief of Defence Staff, Bipin Rawat, today has said that the controversy about the Chinese coming into Indian territory and building a new village in Arunachal Pradesh is not true, and that the villagers were well within the Chinese side of the line of actual control. In fact, what people have been referring to and what we have been referring to in our reports is a Chinese construction south of the international boundary, as India recognizes it, that is still territory that India has never or will ever cede to China. Earlier, in an official reaction to the US report, the External Affairs Ministry said India has neither accepted China's illegal occupation of its territory nor any unjustified Chinese claims. So contradictory statements from the Chief of Defence Staff and the Ministry of External Affairs. We'll debate that at 9:30. The question, has China consolidated its hold on Indian territory in Arunachal Pradesh? But first, the very latest revelations in the Rafale story, what's called the Rafale scam. We are joined by Yann Philippin, the journalist at Mediapart, who's been leading this effort at trying to find out the real truth. Yann, thanks very much for being with us. The bottom line over here, are we anywhere closer to knowing where the money in kickbacks has actually gone? Who was it meant for? Was it only meant for the person who received it? Or was it meant to go from him to somewhere, to someone else?
That's the real question. What we revealed and that we documented is the payment of millions of euros of secret commissions paid to shell companies in tax havens controlled by an intermediary, Mr. Sushen Gupta. And now you know that there is a judiciary probe that has been opened in France in July. And the real question now is, what did Mr. Gupta do with this money? Did he keep it for himself, or did he redistribute part of this as bribes? And I don't have a clear answer to this question, but now that's to the justice system to determine this, if there's been actually corruption or not.
And so, Yann, where is that investigation, the judicial probe in France, at what stage?
We don't know. We just know that it's been opened in July, but nothing has leaked from the content of this investigation.
Is there no update which is provided by, to the media from the French judicial inquiry team?
No,
that, look, this
no,
is what we are doing. France, this is where we are at. Nothing of that sort.
No. You know, in France, the probes are covered by a secret, you know. Ah. And it's extremely rare that people in charge of such probes comment or even give updates on their investigations.
Right. So it could be, there could be a statement, an official statement at some stage, right? But we just don't know when, right?
You know, I don't want to speculate. When I tell you that,
okay.
I don't know, I don't
okay.
know.
All right. So let's look at the other part, Yann, of this entire story. The alleged bribes or the role of this middleman started for more than a decade plus, right? And it spanned several governments in India. So what exactly was his role? Because the nature of the MMRCA deal changed over a period of time. First, it was MRCA, medium-range combat aircraft. Then MMRCA, the specifications changed. The number of contestants played. Dassault at a certain stage was removed from the competition. Then they came back into the competition. There was supposed to be a deal with the UPA. That never worked out. The NDA then scrapped it and bought 36 straight. So it's very different, you know, I mean, throughout this period. So what was the alleged role of Sushen Gupta in all of this?
So we can say that there are three main periods. You know, the first period is the MMRCA tender, which was between 2007 and 2012. It has been won by Dassault in 2012. And during this tender, Mr. Gupta was, let's say, the advisor or the middleman of Dassault. During this period, he received at least 7.5 million euros, from Dassault on his shell company in Mauritius. And we don't know precisely what his role has been, but you can imagine that when you're a foreign arms manufacturer and that you pay such money to a middleman, it's because you hope that he will help you win the contract, you know. Then there's been a second phase, which was when the tender has been won by Dassault in 2012, Dassault still had to negotiate the real contract, you know, the firm contract. And Mr. Gupta, at this point, also helped, you know, for negotiating for the government and also to choose the offset partners, you know, which are these Indian companies that were due to receive half of the amount of the deal, which was absolutely huge, you know, that was $4 billion, euros, sorry. Yes. And during this period, Mr. Gupta wrote a note which looks like a bullet point, you know, arguments to be given to Dassault. And in this note, which was in September 2012, he writes, I quote him, that people in office are waiting for money. And that even if these people are not paid, they would, you know, they could put them in jail. And then there's finally the last period, from 2015, when Mr. Modi decided to cancel the tender and replace it by an intergovernment agreement for 36 aircraft instead of 126. And at this moment, there's a brand new negotiation that begins because it's a new contract. Again, Mr. Gupta is here assisting Dassault. And what we revealed at Mediapart is that during this crucial negotiation, he obtained secret documents from the Indian Ministry of Defense, and especially about the activity of the Indian negotiators and the way that they were calculating the price of the aircraft, which is, as you imagine, in such a negotiation,
it's very sensitive.
And finally, sorry, I've been a bit long. What happens is that the contract is signed in 2016. And right after, Mr. Gupta is again paid by Dassault in two ways. The first way is a 1 million euro contract for one of his companies to manufacture Rafale models. And the second one is a chunk, a part of these offset contracts. And unfortunately, Dassault has confirmed that one of Mr. Gupta's company has received such offsets. But unfortunately, we don't know exactly what this contract is about. And most importantly, how much is worth. But what's sure is that after this last period, Mr. Gupta has received money from Dassault again.
Right. But Jan, the bottom line is that these allegations, including paperwork, of a money trail from Dassault to Gupta through various holdings and offshore companies and the like, was known to Indian investigators even in 2018. And you state in your reports that nothing was done. So people over here apparently sat on it, right? Does it worry you that there is still no statement from the Enforcement Directorate or the CBI directly referring to your report or the points you've made?
That's what really surprises me, because during our last revelation, my last article that has been published last Sunday, I published the proof that the CBI and the Enforcement Directorate knew about the offshore commissions to Mr. Gupta as early as October 2018, so that means 3 years ago, and that they did not open an investigation. And given the political storm that this revelation has created in India, we could expect, you know, a little bit of transparency or at least a reaction from the CBI or the ED. And I'm sorry, I'm not in India, but maybe you can confirm that to me, that I think that they remain silent. And
yeah,
it's
to the
very
best
surprising.
Of my knowledge, there has been no statement on this at all.
There's been no statement, and so this silence is very surprising given the importance of the revelation and the political impact here in India.
If the investigation by the ED or the CBI, should there be a new investigation, if that doesn't move, then all that people can rely on for justice is the French judicial probe, right?
I guess, but you know, a lot of things are happening, happened in India. This is a truly Franco-Indian case. And so it's very surprising, you know, that now that there is a probe, a judiciary probe in France, there is not a similar probe in India. You know, in an ideal world, French and Indian justice systems should cooperate, you know, on this to investigate both sides of the deals. But what we have now is only one of the two countries investigating.
Jan, the anti-corruption clauses in the contract between India and France for the Dassault Rafale fighter jet, would they apply to the role of Dassault or others in alleged corruption prior to this 36-aircraft deal?
Yes, but as you know, again, it was a previous revelation made by Mediapart. These clauses have been removed from the contracts. And so to be exact, it's an Indian newspaper who revealed this. What we revealed is that these clauses were put out of the contracts by the French side. It's the French negotiators that insisted very much to remove these anti-corruption clauses. And there's something very interesting about this, is that, you know, Mr. Gupta, he has been indicted in another arms deals probe, which is the Agusta Westland case, you know, for the sale of VIP helicopters to India. And you know what happened in this case, is that after the probe has been opened by CBI and the ED, the contract has been cancelled by India.
Yes.
Because there were suspicions of corruption. And Mr. Gupta is aware of it because he is indicted in this case.
And the bottom line is, I mean, Sushen Gupta is not on the run. He's here in India. He's in custody and he can be questioned.
No, but what is interesting...
So many more questions seem to exist.
What
outside.
Is interesting is that you can understand why the French... the French team, the team of companies that are manufacturing the Rafale, wanted so much to remove these clauses. Because if these clauses had been kept in the contracts, it means that if one day corruption is proved, the Indian government could have cancelled the contract. And because these clauses are not in the contract anymore... if one day corruption is proven, it's going to be very, very difficult for the Indian government to cancel the contract or even to ask for penalties.
Be interesting, Jan, if at some stage the French investigators independently approach the ED or the CBI and said they want to question Sushen Gupta. There must be agreements between India and France to enable this sort of questioning to take place.
I don't know, you know, I don't know if basically what the judges will do.
All right. Thanks, Jan, very much for joining us with all of those details. Thanks very much indeed. Well, this is what we're looking at on The Big Fight tonight. M.K. Venu, founding editor of The Wire with us, Supriya Srinath of the Congress, P.K.D. Nambiar, who supports the BJP, and Geeta Bhatt, somebody close to the BJP and RSS. Thanks, all of you, very much for being with us. So, let me come to you, Supriya, first. The bottom line is that, you know, it's all party corruption, at least that's the allegation. And the point being mentioned by the Congress repeatedly is that, you know, this started a long time ago and that the Congress is to blame. How would you respond?
I just have two simple things to say, Vishnu. And the first thing that I would want to say is, here is a deal that has finally happened between two governments. There is one party that has paid the bribe and is actually probing the case. There is another party that has received the bribe and there is equal wrongdoing on this part, but nobody wants to investigate the cases here. Do you not find that bizarre? That's point number one I would want to make. Point number two I would want to make is certain Mr. Sushen Gupta allegedly received bribes during the UPA regime. But guess what? During the UPA regime, the deal never happened. But the same Mr. Sushen Gupta is found with sensitive documents in 2018. When Mr. Modi was in power, he is found with the letter written by the then defense minister saying Eurofighter is willing to offer a 20% discount. He has the price negotiation contract. He also has various other documents that are actually breaching the Official Secrets Act. And the ED finds it on them. There is no case against him. Nobody wants to probe Sushen Gupta. And the allegations also by media part that I heard, whatever parts is...
All right, Supriya, you're out of time for your first 1 minute. We'll talk about this at length. I'll come back to you. P.K.D. Nambiar, your first punch, your first comments. You can either respond to Supriya or make your statement 1 minute before we get into the substantive part of the debate.
I feel surprised when time and again when there is a Western media, if fact, I was listening to the journalist interview with you a few seconds before, that if the Western media comes up with a report that there is a bribe which has taken place and it becomes a big news here and we use our prime time debate. We don't even discuss the fact that whether they may have some kind of Western interest to reduce the speed of our defense acquisition, our defense preparedness, and everything to malign. It could be even a bigger game plan by the Western interest from across the border, whether it could be from Europe or from US or any other country. I think people like us, we are just getting back to a topic which was already closed at the Supreme Court, wherein we have cleared a particular case called as Rafael. We got those super jets in our place. The case is a deal between two governments. I don't know why we wanted to go back again and again.
Okay, don't know why we want to go back. Fair enough. Your 1 minute is over. MK Venu, your first minute starts now.
So, Vishnu, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest puzzle for me in this case is that the present government is working very hard to ensure that there is no investigation against the opposition, against the Congress party. If they claim that the UPA, all the bribes were received during UPA's period, why aren't they probing the UPA period or the period before that, NDA? And the other big puzzle for me, Vishnu, is the, as Jan put it, the October documents which the CBI received, government received from the Mauritian government, Attorney General, which clearly showed documents, official secrets, sensitive, price sensitive documents, which were accessed by Sushen Gupta. Why hasn't an Official Secrets Act case been slapped against Sushen Gupta?
All right. Okay. First minute is up.
Very, very serious.
All right. First minute is up. Geeta Bhatt, Geeta ji, go ahead. Your first minute. Start.
Well, Vishnuji, Rafael as a corruption case was imposed on the Indians before the 2019 Lok Sabha elections. And we know that it was the Congress party which was leading that allegation. There were many PILs which were filed and the Supreme Court had asked an explanation to the then government. And based on that, it had dismissed all the allegations which were made and rather had made an observation that there are very inadequate, allegations. They are inadequate, which have been made in the PILs. Even the Supreme Court made an observation that no one has questioned the need for the purchase of Rafale, but rather are just focusing on the process of procurement, where we all know very well that it was an intergovernment agreement based on which the purchase of Rafale aircraft has been done. Now, coming to the part which was also explained to the media part journalist just before on the show, the kickbacks, the money which has exchanged hands of, 7.5 million euros took place, those, bogus invoices are between 2007 and 2012.
Okay, I will end that there. You're over your 1 minute. I'll let you finish that last sentence. Let me go across to PKD Nambiar first. Mr. Nambiar, isn't it strange that we haven't heard anything from the CBI or the ED on these very strong allegations, the production of documents as well?
See, but Vishnu, the problem is that the allegations are coming from where? What is the, in fact, if you could replay that entire interview of you with the other gentleman journalist, he was already taking this as a sub judice matter in the front. There is no clarity.
He's not taken any sub judice manner. He's just reported a story.
No, I'm coming.
Rafale is not sub judice in India, sir. The ruling has taken place. He's come with fresh documents. So he's talking about that.
Vishnu, an international media, whether it's a white, blue or red of a media, writes a particular report, a journalist comes up. We need to have open up all our Pandora boxes here and good inquiry may not be the right thing. I think...
Then what is the right thing, sir?
Indian media. Can I complete? The Indian media needs a little bit of circumstance before they get up to take up that kind of material and make it as a story here.
Okay, your line is a bit bad. I'll come back to you in a moment, Supriya. The question is, the point being made is that, look, why bother necessarily with that investigation? It may not warrant that. How would you respond?
You know, there are two things that I want to say up front. When the BJP is favored by a Morningstar survey or a Philip Kotler award being given to the Prime Minister, suddenly the Western media is going to be lauded. And suddenly everything in the West is good. But when there is a probe that's on in France, which may actually indict our government and what happened on the Rafale deal, they want to dismiss it.
It could indict you as well. It could indict your party big time.
So, which is why I want to come in. I am challenging from your platform, and we have challenged the day the story broke. Okay. Please probe Rafale. We are the ones who are saying probe Rafale. If you have the doubt, probe Rafale. But you're the one running away from an investigation. And I would really want to understand why. I just have one more thing to say. The CBI got documents in October 2018, and they specifically got it for the 11th of October. 23rd midnight, who CBI top brass was changed. Does that not sound fishy? CBI never moved on this case. The ED found sensitive documents with Sushant Gupta. Not one FIR, not one, not one case was lodged. Is that not fishy? Does this not ring
okay.
a warning bell?
Geeta Bhatt, come in over here. The timing is suspicious. The CBI was given documents. The Congress said if there are allegations of corruption against us, probe them. Why doesn't somebody start a probe?
Well, you see, as far as there is a probe, if that is being questioned, let the as has been reported that there is a, you know, the French government is investigating into it, and they are going to, whatever findings they are going to come out of, let there be. The government is going to come out and look into it, but the fact remains that the bidding, that there was no bidding in this case because this was an intergovernmental agreement which had happened. So
we are talking
in terms of kickbacks. No, let me please something. Now the point is that this particular gentleman who has already been arrested, you know, in the Augusta Westland helicopter, controversy, which also happened during the time of
Vishnu,
yes, I have a right to respond.
This happened during there are particular gentleman called Mr. Saxena. Mr. Saxena, who turned an approval, government approval, and he was extradited ED.
All right.
From UAE, it was during his confessions that his name came. We do not know. How do we know?
Vishnu, I have a right to respond.
That's why you investigate. Supriya, go ahead. Yes.
Geeta ji, one second.
Let her answer.
Not involve the government anywhere.
Really? Geeta ji,
madam,
one
it is
second.
My time to respond. Please listen to me patiently.
Go ahead, please, Supriya.
I am telling you some hard truths which may be difficult to digest. As far as the Augusta Westland case is concerned, guess what? We cancelled the deal and we banned them. We put them in a blacklist as early as January 2014. Guess what? Within 7 months, Mr. Modi lifted the blacklist, and now after coming back from BP, he started procuring from them. The same company he called corrupt, the same company Amit Shah called bogus. So suddenly Augusta Westland is all very good because the Modi government wants it to be. You cannot have double play. And the most amusing thing I've heard on the panel today is Geeta Bhatt saying French government is investigating. We have an elected government here.
All right, so the government over here needs to investigate. One second. Let me go across to MK Venu first. One moment, everybody calm down. Let me go across to MK Venu. Mr. Venu.
No, you are putting the fingers on the government. On what basis you are putting the...
All right, can you please, both of you wait. I have to ask MK Venu a question.
You're talking of an individual, Venu, you're talking of a...
All right, bring their audios down. Bring both their audios down, please. Venu, the question to you is this. France has a very strong equation with India. Ideally, their legal system should be talking to our legal system. If there is a judicial inquiry or investigation over there, it needs to... It could legally involve us as well over here in India. Is that a strong possibility, given the seriousness with which this is being investigated in France, in your opinion?
Well, Vishnu, there is a possibility because in France, the judicial system, the office of the prosecution, acts independent of the government. So if it's a government-to-government deal, the government may not have incentive to bring out dirty linen in public. the judicial system can investigate and can figure out what has happened. And Vishnu, additionally, another point I want to make, again, this is in regard to our judiciary. If you remember, after the October 2018 documents CBI received from the Attorney General of Mauritius, saying that these were the documents received, these were the documents which apparently Sushen Gupta had access to, which included Eurofighter's offer of 20% discount. The question, Vishnu, is we have to find out, were those documents shared by CBI with the Supreme Court? Because at that time, Supreme Court was still looking at all these things. So now we don't even know that.
Because it was all in a sealed cover, right? So
yeah, so now that in a new situation, we need to maybe figure out. Somebody will figure out someday. See, those documents, Vishnu, are in the CBI record. If not this government, some other government will take a look at it, and the case will be pursued because it is documented. It is no more an allegation.
All right. These are documents which have been provided to the CBI. We've taken a look at them as well. They've been broadcast by Mediapart. It's on record, as it were.
So it's very simple to me. One, from the point of view of Congress, of course, they need to find out something or the other. They're looking for something to, how can you put the Modi at the dock? How can you call Modi as a toad? So there is something or the other. They look at here and there, even though their own case and their own PALs have been completely disqualified the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has very clearly said this deal is good and let it go. So then second part of it is that the large number of Western media, which has got their own commercial interest, they may be working on their commercial interest, they could be working on behalf of...
No, but then why not investigate all of this, Mr. Nambiar?
What are you even talking about?
How do we know they're working for a vested interest?
The problem is that any Western media coming up with a particular article and some material will not be a matter of discussion all the time here.
Why not, sir? If our media has not been able to come up with these allegations, and if somebody else does, why will we discount that?
Because the Supreme Court of India has already given a clean.
This is after the Supreme Court of India. Sir, this is after the Supreme Court of India. This is new.
Vishnu, you asked a question to the media, the journalist who prepared this report. You asked a question earlier in the show.
Supriya, one second.
You asked him that, do you have that kind of a material in this thing? He said, I don't know.
That's right.
When is this?
That's right. So let there be an investigation, which will know if it's valid or not.
Yes.
All right, Supriya Sinha, last comment to you. 30 seconds before I wrap this up.
Why should Indian government be...
All right, why should Indian government... No accountability here? All right, Supriya, go ahead.
Company has paid some money to somebody. Why should the Indian government be inquiring on it? I don't understand.
All right, 1 second, Mr. Nambiar.
Congress...
1 second, 1 second. All right, Supriya, literally 30 seconds. Please start.
Yes. The fallacy that Supreme Court has given its final word is a fallacy. Not all the documents were finally placed before the court. And in the review, Justice Kurian very clearly said the review should not stand in the way of the CBI from taking action in the complaint in accordance with the law after obtaining previous approvals under 17. He has said that the CBI can go ahead. The all CBI right. chose to sit on the papers on the fresh evidence, and that is the hard truth of the
All right, well, let the hard truth eventually emerge. No political party, either the Congress or the BJP, have been shown a decent light at all in this. The question is, will there be an actual answer? Will there be justice? Or will we be told that it was in fact clean all along? We need to take a short break. Coming up after that, we debate, has China consolidated its hold on Indian territory in Arunachal Pradesh in light of the construction of a village? The Chief of Defence Staff, General Bipin Rawat, has said the controversy about the Chinese coming into Indian territory and building a new village is not true, and that the villages were well within the Chinese side of the line of actual control. Earlier, in an official reaction to the US report, the External Affairs Ministry said India has neither accepted China's illegal occupation of its territory nor any unjustified Chinese claims. So contradictory statements. Remember, just to make this easier for our viewers, there is the international boundary that India believes exists between India and China in Arunachal Pradesh. And then there is the line of actual control, which is a separate line that is, in a way, the actual situation on the ground where Indian soldiers exist. However, the territory between that line of actual control and territory to the north, which may be in Chinese occupation, is still Indian territory as far as we are concerned. Why? We dispute or disagree with the existence of the Chinese in those areas. So there is the international boundary on top, a line of actual control in between. The territory in between, we believe historically, is Indian territory. We have not ceded an inch of that. The question this evening, has China consolidated its hold on Indian territory in Arunachal Pradesh? We've got a great panel. General Sanjay Mestran with us, Brahma Chelani also with us, Supriya Srinath, spokesperson of the Congress, PKD Nambiar, who supports the BJP, and Lieutenant General Sanjay Kulkarni with us. First up in this program, it's called The First Punch. It's 1 minute and then we get into the debate. General Mestran, I'll start with you. Your first minute on this debate starts now, sir. Your first comments, go ahead.
Vishnu, good evening. My comment is as follows, that I am very clear, having been extensively along the China border, served there, there is no such kind of intrusion, and different perception exists regarding interpretation of LAC oblique so-called international border, but there is no intrusion whatsoever. And this is what I, as a military man, I am very firm in whatever I state, and I will support it with logic and facts. Thank you.
Right. Brahma Chelani, your first minute. Go ahead, sir. Your first comment.
I prefer to look at the larger picture. India has incrementally been losing border areas to Chinese expansionism since the 1950s, including the Lunse area, where a 100 home village has been built, the village that we're talking about, and where China has found gold during minerals exploration. China is constantly probing Indian defenses. And where it finds empty, unpatrolled border spaces, it intrudes and occupies those spaces. In this manner, it has over the years been expanding its control, often mile by mile. What stands out in the last decade or so is the speed and stealth with which China is redrawing facts on the ground, with little regard for the geopolitical fallout.
Okay. General Sanjay Kulkarni, sir, you're up next. Your 1 minute starts now, sir. Go ahead.
Vishnu, first and foremost, by the instrument of accession, the whole of it is ours. But definitely, since 1950, the Chinese have occupied and they have reached where they are today by 1959, where the construction has taken place are areas which are in their occupation since 1959. In fact, Ronju is the place from where everything starts. The war of 1962 commences from that being the catalyst for what has happened. The construction that has been seen is in the area which they have occupied, which is unjustified occupation, that could be said. But yes, the area is under their occupation since 1959. From the post that we have right opposite that, nothing is visible. Yes, the satellite imageries do show construction of about 100 houses and things that have come up, maybe for good purpose use for men as also for the Tibetans over there. And that is in the area between Longju and Megathan. Yeah.
Got it, sir. PKD Nambiar, 1 minute. Your time starts now. Go ahead. Mr. Nambiar, I think you're on mute. So, okay, you've started. The audio is back. I'll give you more time. Go ahead and start now.
I believe that more than 3,000 kilometers of overall boundary which we share with the China, there are, since there is no absolute boundary, we demarcated boundary, there are bound to have little bit of problems here and there. But I am confident that we have a very strong government, strong elected government who is ready to give a reply at any point of time. I believe we have the best army available in the world, or the best defense forces available in the world or in the universe today, to take on to any enemy who can come. So I think we are very well prepared than ever. We are not an India of 1962. We do not have a weak leader to governing this country. I think I am more than ever confident as an Indian Let any China or any country like that may try. And secondly, and most importantly, you know that China has got an expansionist policy, but that will not work with India. We have clearly, our Jawans have proved that in the Wuhan Valley. I think let's believe that our government, our defense forces,
got it, sir.
I've the promise they will be
all
able
right.
to do.
Okay. Supriya, 1 minute starts now.
Thank you very much, and what an eminent panel this is. It's an honor to be a part of this. I will only simply say that this masculine image of the government, this muscular, strong image of the Prime Minister, is perhaps what is proving to be our biggest hurdle as we deal with China. The MEA and the Chief of Defense Staff are on two different pages as far as this Chinese occupation and the building of the 100 to 101 houses, villages concerned. The Pentagon 192-page report is a huge cause of concern. Not a word from the government as far as that is concerned. And China, not just doing things on the Ladakh border, but look at the Siliguri chicken neck, or for that matter, intruding the Uttarakhand boundaries and destroying a bridge there. So China needs to be taught a lesson, but the lesson has to be taught in a far more diplomatic, in a far wider way than just flexing muscles for the domestic audience. This requires our MEA and our defense ministries to come together. Right now, they're speaking in two different languages. They seem to be on two different pages. We cannot be falling prey to cheap domestic applause while dealing with China. That's what we are doing right now.
All right. My first question to you, General Meston, you said that there is no intrusion. But would you agree that there is an intrusion into territory which India says is ours and but does not occupy in this Longju sector?
Let me make certain perspectives very clear. Firstly, I think a point was made by Mr. Brahmacharyani that their patrols keep coming more often. Now, I will put certain facts very, very clear for the Indian public. Number one, all along the line of actual control, Indian Army is deployed.
No, sir, I'm not asking about the line of actual control. I'm asking you whether Chinese construction has taken place south of the international boundary, also known as the McMahon Line, in territory which India considers as ours and is illegally occupied by China. Yes or no, okay, sir?
So I would put it across as General Kulkarni has brought out, and even yesterday the CDS had highlighted that in 1959, this area was under them and this was the source of conflict. So considering that was the existing position, and whatever they have improved, the construction of the village, in that parlance, I would not term this as an intrusion. That cannot be termed as an intrusion because this has been existing in 1959. So nothing new has happened except that, yes, they have upgraded that village, constructed about 100 odd houses over there.
Okay, let me put that to Brahma Chelani. Dr. Chelani, we cannot consider it an intrusion because this is an area that's been under Chinese occupation for a long period of time. Is the word intrusion accurate?
It's accurate because China has been intruding across the McMahon line, not just under the present government in New Delhi, but even under the previous governments, including the Manmohan Singh government and Atal Bihari Vajpayee government. In January this year, as you recall, China justified its construction of a village beyond the McMahon line. This is the village that you had highlighted in one of your reports. It justified its construction by saying it never recognized Arunachal Pradesh.
Right.
In other words, because it lays claim to Arunachal Pradesh as South Tibet, it can keep on encroaching. This is more reason why India must change its stance. Indian policy over the decades has aided China's territorial aggrandizement, including its strategy of rolling annexation.
Right.
For example, while China lays claim to Arunachal Pradesh as South Tibet on the basis of its alleged historical links to Tibet, India maintains that Tibet is an integral part of the PRC.
Right.
Can a national stance be more self-injurious than this? It's past time for India to revise the stance.
Right. General Kulkarni, let me ask you this.
The one China policy of India has to be conditioned.
Got it.
One India policy.
Got it, Dr. Chelani. Got it. Get the point. This is a big fight. I'm trying to be a little bit more vociferous. Let me go across to you, General Kulkarni. And the point I need to ask you is this. Are we giving the Chinese a free pass by referring to the line of actual control when in fact the construction activity that we are talking about is in an area that India has never ceded? Why talk about the line of actual control over here when in fact we are talking about the territory between the line of actual control and the international boundary? Are we not deflecting from the situation at hand? General Kulkarni, sir.
Vishnu, when it comes to China, the international boundary is what it was, as I said, by the instrument of accession. When it comes to East, it is the McMahon line.
Right.
It is the McMahon line. They don't seem to recognize it. And whatever talks has transpired then, that, yeah, we would rather, quid pro quo, McMahon line accepted now, give us something in Eastern Ladakh. All those talks are all history now. The fact is, even as regards McMahon line is concerned, Sundaram Chu, they've also crossed Kagla Ridge. They're already down below. They're right under our nose.
Right.
Even in Longyu, this is a place which was...
But does that mean we give up our claim on those areas?
Vishnu, this is a pilgrimage route which would be undertaking every 12 years by the locals over there. And since 1956, we have not been undergoing this pilgrimage route because they were and they are in illegal occupation of the area which is supposed to be ours. Yes, no doubt. And they are in occupation since 1959. And this village, the fight that took place, the soldier that we lost over there in 1959, for which Pandit Nehru had to say so in the parliament, that yes, after 3 days, this incident has occurred and something has gone wrong between India and China. That is a fact which has gone since 59. The area is under their occupation. The construction of these villages have taken place in illegally occupied territory by China.
Right.
In Longyu, Amegitum.
Right. So, That really is the point. General Mester, you're disagreeing. Why are you disagreeing?
I was in the military operations directorate. Looking after China as a brigadier. You know, firstly, let's be very clear. The line of the international border, what General Kulkarni has highlighted, is absolutely correct that it is the McMahon line. But what exactly is McMahon line? Have you seen the maps? The McMahon line during the British era, that time it was marked by a big pen, you know, something like a big marker, and it was on the million meter map. It is just along certain so-called watersheds.
Yes.
Therefore, how do we define this on ground? So over a period of time, you know, there have been different perceptions, and therefore your patrolling, etc., by the Indian Army. So that has now been termed as the LAC too. For anyone to define what exactly is the international border, it is impossible to do it on that map. So therefore, that is why this has been termed as LAC. Now, since that time, there have been certain intrusions in 1959. So they are at that particular place. So we cannot term that as intrusion. And I want to state one thing very, very clearly, that, you know, the Indian Army is patrolling all along. I'm not only focusing on this area as a concept, as a policy, I'm telling. The Chinese rarely come on their patrols. I commanded my brigade in Nathula. I have seen them really coming once in a month. We were patrolling entire area, my entire brigade sector. So there was no question of any intrusion in any sector. And even if something happens, let's put it, the local drill is we immediately go and remove whatever construction they do. In fact, I would say at times we have been more aggressive on that front. Let's not forget.
Okay. Brahmacharani, would you respond to that one point that's been mentioned? That's a critical point by General Meston, that the boundary itself, the McMahon line, it's difficult. It was drawn with a thick pen. It's difficult to actually, but that's the root of the problem. That's why we are having this discussion. Does that mean that we need to neglect or ignore the map as per the Survey General of India, which exists?
The fact that the McMahon line was drawn with a thick pen, that's a fact. But that does not detract from Chinese expansionism. For example, the confrontation that is happening for the last 19 months because of Chinese encroachments in Ladakh. Overnight, they laid claim to Galwan Valley. They've intruded into areas which were traditionally under Indian patrolling. So lying or no lying, Chinese expansionism is uncontrollable.
Okay.
And it's been uncontrollable for a long time.
Right.
Now, if you look at Chinese encroachments, people of Ladakh, Uttarakhand, and Arunachal Pradesh have long complained that Chinese troops have been steadily nibbling away at Indian territories, taking over high-altitude pasture lands and blocking traditional herding routes. China has pursued a strategy of employing nomads from their side to go in with their livestock, with the PLA support, so as to mark territory as their own. Now, this building of villages, which is happening more recently, that began, let's be clear, when President Xi Jinping openly called on Tibetan herdsmen in 2017 to settle down in frontier areas and, quote-unquote, become guardians of Chinese territory. Now, in 4 years, we have seen how this village-building program has taken off, both in Indian territories as well as in Bhutanese territory. Through Bhutanese territory, they have opened a new axis against India's so-called chicken neck.
Yes. Yeah. No, exactly. No, that's dangerous. Supriya, the question which needs to be asked is that I don't want to make this a political fight, but it just as a matter of position, the fact is that successive Congress governments since the 60s have neglected infrastructure building. You can't just build a road in 4 or 5 years. In those areas, you need to be building for decades because the terrain is against us. Is that not the central reason why we are talking today? India has never built up enough infrastructure to protect and defend and get into those areas. Supriya.
No, Vishnu, that is not true. Should more infrastructure have been built? Absolutely, yes. And it's always a work in progress. It's not as if infrastructure got built since 2014 only. There were things that were approved first and then the building started. I want to raise a larger point getting what the political differences. I honestly feel that the elected government of the day needs to make up its mind on engagement with China. Look at how we've engaged with China. We called them to Sabarmati. We called them to Mahabalipuram. They did a Doklam. Now they did a Nepsang. We have not been able to revert the April 2020 status quo ante. We gave them a clean sheet. The Prime Minister said, "Koi ghusa nahi par." What did China do? China tomtom that to the world. And China used that to not go back to the status quo ante of April 2020. China still occupying Hot Spring, Galwan, Debsang, places like that. I also feel China has been able to successfully win over a lot of our very, very all-weather good neighbors, whether it's Bhutan or it's Maldives, Sri Lanka or it's Bangladesh. China is now in conversation with a lot of them.
Okay, let me get a response from PKD Nambiar on that.
Pakistan, and in turn, the Taliban is extremely worried. And the government of the day has actually sat there and said, China, our biggest trading partner, the last 1 year.
PKD Nambiar, what is our China policy?
I'm not an external affairs expert for that matter, and the defense expert. So I leave that to the generals who are very clearly and categorically in this panel has clearly said that we are in a safe hand and our armies are in fully control of our line of actual control. There I leave that particular part. But so the other part which I wanted to talk about is if there is an issue with the Chinese are becoming an aggressive. Why it is happening now? It is only because of the last 60 years of our independence. We have, even despite we losing a war to the Chinese, we have never learned that we need to build up wonderful infrastructure on our border state. We need to have airports wherein we can move our forces at any point of time if required, if there is an emergency. We need to have bridges which can take our forces to the
China has realized that you want to play to your domestic galleries and you're willing to give them a clean chit.
See, I'll tell you, you talk about from your experiences. Sorry, I nullify your talk because you talk from your experiences. You never put your country as the first. You always put a family first. I think a Congress spokesperson talking about the country first is making a talk of the day. Basically, for Congress, it's a family first. Ma'am, first you become a president of the party of your own, then we talk about Chinese. You don't even have a right to talk about this.
All right, okay, I think that's enough. I think that's enough, both of you, enough personal attacks on both sides. So we'll bring down the sound in all of that.
Let's talk about the China.
I think I need to wrap this program up. And the reason I want to wrap it up is because as India and China, can I just pipe in with one word, as India and China, as India has this dispute inside, our MEA says one thing, our Chief of Defense Staff says something else. We've got brilliant experts over here. One outstanding general says there has been no intrusion. One outstanding general says that areas are illegally occupied still. We are still not using the same language. If India does not use the same language, then at the end of the day, it's the Chinese who are laughing at us, at our expense, and that really becomes the problem. I'll wrap this program up at this stage with a comment on Ku, which has come in. Smriti writes in, she says, China's policy of building up habitation along the line of actual control in Sikkim and Arunachal Pradesh is part of a multi-billion dollar plan. A Ku question from Shivangi, why are we even surprised that it is true? That's a question that's coming. Why are we even surprised if it is true? That's a question. Out of time on this program from all of us here.